Blog Talk Radio.
From the Blog Talk Radio studios in the heart of Hudson County, folks, you know it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you Politically Direct, and I am the professor, Fernando Uribe. I want to welcome you all here tonight, the 27th of February. My God, how the year is just flying by indeed here in 2020. And, of course, I want to thank you all for listening in from wherever and however you may be doing so throughout Hudson County, throughout the Garden State, and, of course, to all my friends for the good old U.S. of A. You can write to the show's inbox at any time, folks, and it is politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for guests or for possible topics in the coming weeks and months ahead, write to me. I love getting emails, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. And don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj. You can also follow me directly on Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe, and, of course, hit me up on Twitter as well. Folks, I can't say enough about all of the positive, the positive reinforcement that I keep getting on my social media. I know a lot of you enjoy my Instagram stories, my political memes, pro wrestling humor, everything under the sun. Again, I appreciate that. And again, I'm very grateful for all the new likes and, of course, all the brand new followers each and every day. Don't forget to hit me up on Twitter also, folks, at Professor F. Uribe. And for all of you Facebook subscribers, please go to the official page for Politically Direct, like it, of course, and tell your friends to do the same. Now, I do want to hear from you tonight. At some point, ladies and gentlemen, don't be shy. Call me toll free, 818-572-8032. Once again, the toll free number tonight, if you wish to call in and opine, is 818-572-8032. And our toll free number to check out Insider NJ, folks, by going to www.insidernj.com. For the absolute best coverage of the political scene throughout the state of New Jersey. Once you're on the website, click on the upper right-hand corner. You'll see the subscribe button. Hit it, and guess what? You'll be automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. So when you wake up in the morning, you're watching, let's say, your morning sports shows like I am, maybe on Fox Sports, you know, whether it's First Things First or Undisputed. Or maybe sometimes I'll watch First Take on ESPN. I don't know. There's only so much I can take of Stephen A. Smith. But in any event, I'm checking my inboxes. I'm sure all of you are, right? Maybe you're walking your dog. Maybe you're working out. Who knows? Maybe you're just reading the newspaper. In any event, the morning intelligence briefing will be there waiting for you. Again, and you can check it from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. It's the best journalism, ladies and gentlemen, available anywhere in the state of New Jersey. And nobody does it better, once again, than Insider NJ. Check out www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Now, the opinions and views expressed tonight and every week here on Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, the staff, or sponsors. Folks, I hope you had a wonderful week. Certainly very productive for me this past Monday, once again, for the fourth week in a row in February, and obviously a couple of dates in January. I was very proud to represent Insider NJ and, of course, represent this podcast, Politically Direct, On Liquid Lunch, which airs Monday through Fridays on Newsmax TV. I can't say enough really about how much I enjoy my time there with the host, John Tobacco, Staten Island's own. He's a Wall Street entrepreneur, but obviously he's also the host of this outstanding program every Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. And it's just a great show. And if you have not had the chance to check it out, you should do that, because let me tell you, it is it's an amazing program. I have to thank him. Also, Frank Morano, the executive producer. Nico Romano, also the producer on, you know, really on the set that helps make everything flow. And everybody else that I work with there, they're just outstanding people. And again, I really am grateful to Newsmax TV and specifically Liquid Lunch for their faith in my abilities. And again, the fact that they continually ask me to keep coming back to opine on today's political climate, whether it's about the strong economy, whether it's about, let's say, pop culture, or just like today's political climate. Again, I can't say enough about how grateful I am to everybody at Liquid Lunch for just believing in me. And, you know, sure enough, you know, I like to, you know, reciprocate the favor and like to make sure I give them as much press as I can. If you follow the show on Facebook, or if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you'll see that the press releases from Insider NJ go out every week because of my appearance. And hey, you know what? Nothing wrong with a little self-promotion. Someone's got to do it. And, you know, again, I appreciate the time that they take to, you know, at Insider NJ to, you know, give me that sort of platform and to let me go out on the show and represent the company and certainly represent this podcast. So, folks, it's a great show Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. You can watch it on any of the following cable channels if you indeed subscribe to terrestrial cable. It's on Cablevision Optimum Channel 102. It's on Verizon Fios Channel 615. Xfinity Channel 115, DirecTV Channel 349, and Time Warner Cable Channel 222. Of course, you can check out their website, newsmaxtv.com/shows/John Tobacco's Liquid Lunch. So, again, I should be on this Monday. I'll certainly give you all an update on my social media, as I like to do often, and I'll let you know what I'll be talking about. But again, it was a great week to be there on Monday. It's a great way to start the work week, as they say. I teach a class in the morning, and then I drive into Manhattan, get to hang out with John Tobacco and the great people at Liquid Lunch. So give a shout-out to everybody, because you're so awesome for having me on as regularly as you have. I mean, I was on a good amount of times in 2019, and so far in 2020, I mean, I've been on regularly. So I'm very grateful, and I'm trying to maximize these opportunities, folks, because, you know, I need to be on the air. You need me on the air. Again, I'm here to save you, as I told you in 2020, to save us from the toxicity of liberalism. And again, folks, hashtag Plus Fernando. That is the mission in 2020, folks. And so, again, I can't say enough about how happy I am about the ability to do that. But as I've been on Liquid Lunch and just sort of opining about the political climate, I also got me thinking about what's going on in New Jersey. And that is indeed the subject of my first shot. Now, a shout-out this week to a couple of different news outlets. I know it was reported in the Associated Press on NJ.com, also has a kind of view. That Senator Bob Menendez went hard at Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders over his recent comments concerning Fidel Castro, and of course, the senator here in New Jersey decided to double down on the open primary. Now, Senator Bob Menendez went very hard at his colleague and also presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders in light of a recent interview where this past Sunday on 60 Minutes, Bernie Sanders wanted to say, quote, "It's unfair to simply say everything is bad about the Fidel Castro regime." And he also doubled down on his preference for an open presidential primary. Now, the senior senator of New Jersey went on to say this week, quote, "I'm sure the hundreds that died in Castro's jails, the over a million who came in the United States, and others who are fleeing elsewhere, those who are still languishing in Castro's jail simply because they seek to speak their mind, as we are free to do so in the United States, do not find anything of that regime other than it is a tyrannical regime." And then this said during a media event this past week, after announcing federal funding in Hoboken earlier the week, quote, I don't understand how you can praise any of that. It's a fundamental challenge as we go into these elections. What does it mean when Senator Sanders sees something worthy of applauding when you have dictatorships, authoritarian regimes that ultimately deny the civil and human rights of its people? Now, the Senator Sanders, who many perceive as the current Democratic presidential frontrunner, made some remarks on 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper. That he implemented, that at least Castro, in his mind, implemented at least one positive initiative. And he said, quote, "When Fidel Castro came to office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing, even though Fidel Castro did it?" And he said so before condemning sort of, you know, the act of incarcerating political prisoners in Cuba. And additionally, of course, Senator Abominet has made it clear that Sanders is not his first choice to challenge the president, asking how he would pay for Medicare for All or free college, and even expressing disappointment that he didn't vote for, quote, comprehensive immigration reform. Now, still, the senior senator in New Jersey told multiple news outlets that he is not backing any presidential candidate at this time, but noted that this is why his suggestion of an open presidential primary throughout the state makes a lot of sense. Well, folks, aside from not only talking about that, the senator also made some media rounds this week and also just expressed the fact that, you know, should Senator Sanders be at the top of the ticket, this could be fundamentally disastrous for the Democratic Party. And the reason I tell you that, folks, and I talked about it today during filming of my new episode of Talking Politics with Fernando Uribe via the Hudson Media Group and NJ On Air, which will air soon and obviously should air tomorrow, so I'll keep you posted on that one. But, folks, I kind of just gave you a picture that, think about it. When you go into the voting booth, whether it's this year or you have in previous years, let's be honest. I mean, all of you, my loyal listening audience, you're all very intelligent, so I don't have to worry about that. But, folks, we all know those type of people that vote on election day and normally just go in there, close the curtain, and if they see one candidate, they just sort of just vote down the line. And let's be honest, folks, maybe not so much in New Jersey because sort of the Democratic machine is pretty consistent and I think they're pretty structured here in the Garden State. So the chances of, U.S. Senator Cory Booker or any Democrats that currently hold seats in the House of Representatives could be indeed vulnerable. I don't know about that, but I think the senator makes a very good point about on a national level that Sanders at the top of the ticket could really hurt Democrats and that are vulnerable in other states. Let's be honest, folks. How many Democrats in the South or in the Midwest are going to look at the ballot and look at the two columns, right? Obviously, the Democratic column and the Republican column. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be seeing people saying, I can't vote for Bernie Sanders. I'll find a way to stomach voting for President Trump. And, of course, they'll do that, and they'll vote down the line. And guess what? Now, again, that might not happen in New Jersey for the most part because of the political machine apparatus. But in other parts of the country, folks, that's where Democrats are vulnerable. And I think, obviously, clearly that's what Senator Menendez was referring to, and rightfully so. And I think, as a guy who's a pretty true blue Democrat, he's really, really terrified. And who can blame him about the fact that Republicans most likely are going to win back the House. They're going to add to their lead in the U.S. Senate right now in terms of their majority, which right now stands at 54 seats to 46 seats for the Democrats. And I think that this week, Senator Menendez uttered concerns I think a lot of other prominent Democrats have throughout the country. And notwithstanding the fact that I'm sure Senator Menendez was not happy about Bernie Sanders' comments about Cuba, and neither was I, and made sure to rip him on my show this week. But I think he's also concerned about sort of like the costly programs that Senator Sanders is proposing, which do not, again, folks, and I've said this before, if you want me to be objective and not be so partisan or so bombastic, fine. I'll give you a very simple scenario. I think the way I look at Bernie Sanders is half of me thinks probably, maybe he means well. He's probably not a bad human being per se. He probably does have the best interest of people. But the problem is the other 50% of him is he's economically illiterate. And the problem is there's nothing more dangerous than a fool with a cause. And that's the best way to summarize Bernie Sanders at this time. And I don't know about you folks, but there's a lot of, a lot of time between now and June 2nd when the primary comes. So for Democratic voters, you have a lot of thinking to do about what's going to happen with your party. And the way it's looking for an imminent implosion, especially Bernie Sanders is at the top of the ticket. Senator Menendez knows it, and so does every other prominent Democrat. The only thing is that Senator Menendez at least has had the temerity to talk about it openly. We'll see where it heads, though, but we'll keep you posted here on the show, folks. But again, Bernie Sanders could be disastrous for the Democratic Party. And for a lot of Republicans and even conservatives like me, that's a good thing because we can't afford his policies. No matter how nice and sweet they sound, we just can't afford them. And that's not me being partisan. That's not me being a hater. That's me being realistic. And that's what I do for you folks, my loyal listening audience here on the show. So I'm not going to stop it now, especially during election season. And that's my first shot right here on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, 818-572-8032. Toll free number tonight. Again, I'll take some calls later in the show, but right now at the time it's 9:15 on the East Coast. And it is my pleasure to welcome the director of the National Rifle Association, my good friend, fellow conservative, patriot, and a guy who, listen, very honestly, believes in responsible gun ownership and the advocacy for gun rights, which, folks, no offense, if you've read the document, it's right in our U.S. Constitution. But he's a guy who's always fair, very hospitable, and amicable to me, and I love him. I know you will, too. He is Anthony Calandro joining us tonight on Politically Direct.
Hello, Anthony, hello, Fernando. Can you Can you hear me?
What's going on, brother? Yeah, can you hear me, bro?
Everything's good. I can hear you just fine, man. Thank you very much having me on the show.
Oh, listen, I love you coming on. You're always a fair guy, and I know you're a fan of the podcast, and I know you appreciate my commentary. I think I'm one of the few people in New Jersey making sense on the airwaves. I know you are as well with your own podcast with Gun for Hire. But without a doubt, you know, Anthony, we're living in some really troubling times. And, you know, before we get to the national climate and certainly this election season, which I know you have a lot to say about it, and even before we get to Governor Murphy, who I know, you know, you're not a big fan of for very legitimate reasons, I want to at least give my audience an opportunity today to learn more about what you do with the National Rifle Association. Because, Anthony, I've had a lot of people contact me in the last 24 hours, a lot of liberal friends have said to me, Fernando, I know you're a fair and balanced guy. I know that moniker is copyrighted by somebody else, but you are fair and balanced. Bring on guests that people hear from. But, bro, why are you bringing a gun advocate on the show? We know what gun laws are in New Jersey. You know, someone like him, who we've heard his material, we've heard some of his social media content, doesn't seem to be, like, the most concise guy to talk about gun rights. And that, I think, is wrong, because I've read your stuff, and I know you're a very fair person. But you're also a concerned citizen, Anthony. So the floor is yours, man, because I want you to at least give my audience today why you're such an advocate for responsible gun ownership and really what concerns you about the climate here in New Jersey.
Well, first of all, I'm a board member. I'm the executive vice president of the state NRA, the Association of Rifle and Pistol Clubs of New Jersey, and I'm one of 76 elected board of directors for the National Rifle Association. And my passion is education and training in the Second Amendment, because what people forget is the Second Amendment is a civil right. It's our civil right to own firearms and to protect ourselves from tyranny from the government. The Second Amendment was not written by our forefathers so many years ago for people to go hunting. The First Amendment was written from freedom of speech, religion, and oppression, and your opinions, and then they made the Second Amendment second for a reason, because it was the second most important amendment on their mind at the time, because they just fought for their freedom. And in our country right now, we're fighting for our freedom every day. It seems to be mob rule in our country. Everybody wants to take everybody's rights away. We need a license and a permit for everything. Pretty soon, reporters are going to have to go to school, and they're going to have to take permits and classes just like we gun people have to do. And it's wrong. If you are a law-abiding citizen, you should be able to exercise your Second Amendment right. Of course, I advocate for education and training 100% across the board. There's nothing more important at this point than to a firearm and exercise that right. And I push for that every day. I have the largest education and training center in the state of New Jersey. Hundreds of thousands of people have visited my range up until this point to see what us gun people are really like. And I know the left is constantly demonizing us, that we're backwards hillbillies and we're crazies and we're white supremacists. If you come to my range on any given day, it looks like a combination of Noah's Ark and the United Nations in my place. It's law-abiding citizens exercising the right that it's our God-given right to own guns. And I welcome anybody. I saw people today post on your Facebook, why would you have me on? And I told those people I would gladly civilly debate them about that, because I believe both sides need to be heard. It's the only way we can find common ground and work things out. If the left and the right just dig in their heels, then nothing's ever going to change.
You know, Anthony, that's a really fair observation, and I'm glad you sort of, you know, made reference to that now during the program. But let me ask you this, Anthony, because I think, you know, let me just talk as layman as possible, because I think, you know, I'm an academic. I'm always a policy guy. And, you know, to a lot of people that I talk to in academia, and I think also in advocacy groups and everything, again, I don't know if this is probably the most concise concern, but perhaps, you know, when we think about gun laws in the United States, obviously, you know, again, as you mentioned, our forefathers, listen, you know, the 10th Amendment is very important for people. People, you know, pride themselves and take a lot of solace with the fact that federalism is important, that states' rights obviously are something that the forefathers believed in. And again, but at the end of the day, you know, federal law supersedes everything. And that was really sort of the basis for a strong central government. But I think a lot of people might tell you, Anthony, maybe you've heard this, and so maybe you can share some, maybe a story or two with me tonight. I think a lot of people nationally are just maybe frustrated about, let's say, the lack of uniformity when it comes to gun laws. And I think that, you know, a lot of people that I talk to would say, well, Fernando, you know, I know we live in New Jersey and across the river in New York. You know, some people will argue that gun laws or the right to own a gun, you know, responsibly is so draconian. Meanwhile, when we travel to, let's say, other parts of the country, for example, one of my favorite states, the great state of Texas, you know, I love Texas. You know, gun laws are very different. And for example, they're different in Pennsylvania. They're different in the Carolinas. A lot of people I talk to, Anthony, just say to me, you know, that's what really frustrates me. Why is there such an inability either by the federal government or state legislatures to even try to be on the same page? Is it more like an ideological divide, Anthony, or is it just about just bureaucracy, because that's what government can be?
It is a lot to do with bureaucracy. But remember, states don't have rights, Fernando. States have powers. We, the people, have the rights. And we have patchworks of laws in different districts, federal districts, and different states. 44 states allow people the right to defend themselves and the right to carry. And New Jersey doesn't. And we have legislators in the 6 states that are so anti-gun that are protected 24/7 by armed police officers that we, the people, the taxpayers, pay for that security. Mm-hmm. And those people tell us that we can't protect ourselves with firearms. It is backwards. And the bureaucracy is unbelievable. And someday the Supreme Court, I hope, is going to fix this and ratify all 50 states and say we all have the right to protect ourselves and our family inside and outside our home. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you're not a criminal, you don't have mental health issues, you should be able to exercise that right. But, you know, we national reciprocity for concealed carry has been before the Senate 5 or 6 times now, and it died on the vine. But yet 44 states allow people to carry guns. My driver's license is good in all 50 states. Why should I not have a carry permit in the state I reside in that's good in all 50 states? Do you realize other people can travel state to state and carry a gun? Nobody in the 44 states can carry a gun in New Jersey, and only 900 people out of 9 million residents in New Jersey have carry permits. And we've Oprah requested the list of those 900 people 3 times, twice under Christie and once under Murphy. And the state police and the AG's office have denied us that request because they don't want to see how many anti-gun politicians and elites actually have carry permits, the very people that are keeping us from protecting ourselves and our family.
Anthony, that blows my mind about those Oprah requests being denied. And it's disappointing to even hear it. That it happened during the Christie administration, because, you know, irrespective of what I think about Chris for different reasons, you know, you would think a guy who is a former U.S. attorney, a guy who, you know, really was as diligent as you could get with the law, would not be in favor of that. That's really disappointing. You know, again, not that there isn't enough things to disappoint me about Chris Christie, but now learning about this, this is just one more thing here that just kind of makes me scratch my head about the former governor. But now, Anthony, the Supreme Court has heard other cases recently. It's my understanding, and you can certainly enlighten us today here on the program. During the most recent court calendar, did the Supreme Court hear a recent case concerning the Second Amendment, or was that just another state, Anthony?
No. They heard a case for the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association. It's an NRA and state NRA case. If you live in New York, the New York County, which is the 5 boroughs, New York City, you couldn't up until September take your handguns out of the 5 boroughs, which was a direct violation of the Commerce Clause and a direct violation of our civil rights. And the Supreme Court is taking that case, and there'll be a ruling in May or June on that case. But the Supreme Court is also holding 8 Second Amendment cases, concealed carry cases, waiting to see what the ruling is with that New York State case, where we gun people are hoping that those cases, those other 8 cases, will be sent back down to the lower courts to retry them under strict scrutiny. Because right now we have an imbalance in the courts. people have different Second Amendment rights in different federal districts across the country, and that is not allowable. The Supreme Court needs to come in and unify all of that. Imagine if you had different First Amendment rights, Fernando, in different states. What words you could use, how you could use them, or how you could worship. Our freedom of expression varied from state to state. So the Supreme Court, we feel, is parking and holding all of these cases post Heller and McDonald's, which is 11 years since the Supreme Court heard a case. We've had activist judges using their own rulings like magic on how the Second Amendment applies inside and outside your home. So it's in Justice Clarence Thomas has said this. It's overdue that the Supreme Court steps in and fixes this mess. That's a quote from him directly. So I am hoping, and all of us pro-gun people are hoping, that the Supreme Court will, in fact, finally fix this mess and address this problem that's been boiling over for the past 11 years.
It just seems, though, Anthony, that, you know, obviously just the word guns and the idea about responsible gun ownership, I mean, they're such polarizing terms, and they really shouldn't be. And I'm someone who has been in the process of, you know, certainly, you know, in the past of, you know, trying to obtain a license to get my fingerprints, to, you know, get the necessary references. And it's so laborious. And listen, Anthony, I'm all for responsible gun legislation. I think, you know, background checks, I think, are reasonable. I don't think that that's overly invasive. As you just said, you believe in education. Listen, folks, I've been to Gun for Hire. You know, a side note, sort of for people that don't know, Anthony has been a very generous contributor to my philanthropy for many years. And one of the best gifts that I've ever that I consistently raffle off at my events has always been a gift basket from Gun for Hire, because people enjoy shooting. It's therapeutic. It's fun. And if you've ever gone to Gun for Hire, which I've gone multiple times, it's a wonderful experience. Every trainer, every staff member there is super polite and professional. They're helpful. They do their due diligence. I mean, when Anthony tells you folks that his center is the best in the state, I'm telling you right now, I plug a lot of businesses on this program, but I'll tell you right now, the one I'll plug very much is tonight, because I've been there. It's a wonderful business. It's a wonderful entrepreneurial opportunity that Anthony represents. So if you haven't done so, go to gunforhire.com and you'll find out that it's a wonderful, wonderful venue. But Anthony, let me just say this, because you mentioned about you being in favor of education and responsible gun ownership. But even despite that, though, Anthony, you're still going to have some people, especially on the left, especially in New Jersey, that are just so vehemently opposed to residents defending themselves. Like where I live in, for example, where I live in Union City, I have a great police department. The, you know, the ability for them to respond to anything is very prompt. So I'm very fortunate. But there are parts of the state, though, Anthony, that, you know what, if you don't have access to a firearm and you have to wait for the police to come save you, you know, those are seconds that can be life or death. And for a lot of residents in New Jersey, denying them the opportunity to protect themselves just seems really tyrannical by the Murphy administration. I just want to hear your thoughts, bro.
You know, there's a saying, when you need help in seconds, the police arrive in minutes. Nationally, the average police response rate is 11 minutes. Do you know what can happen in 11 minutes?
A
lot can happen. And we've had cases go to the Supreme Court. Warren versus D.C. Everybody listening could Google Warren versus D.C. The police have no duty to protect you. The police come after the incident occurred, make a report, and then do an investigation. They are not going to be attached to your hip. We're not an elite or a politician that has 24/7 armed security. You are your own first responder. It is our own moral responsibility to be able to protect ourselves and our family. And, you know, the narrative on the left for the past 40 years, they can just walk into a gun store with your driver's license and buy a gun and, you know, 500 rounds of ammunition.
That's not true.
Correct. Mental health background check. Fingerprints that go to the National Registry. two references. You fill out the applications. The police chief reviews it. They send it to the prosecutor's office. You get your firearms ID card. That allows you to buy rifles and shotguns. But when you go buy a rifle and shotgun, at the counter, you get a national instant background check. And then in New Jersey, every time you want to purchase a handgun, we're allowed – it's gun rationing. We're allowed to buy one handgun a month. You have to fill out a separate permit. You get a background check. Your permit is good for 90 days. Anytime within those 90 days that you go purchase a handgun, you get another national instant background check to make sure you haven't committed any crimes or drunken disorderly or domestic dispute or anything else that happened in between. They will deny you. We have a very rigid system, especially in New Jersey. But again, people think – I get this question all the time, Fernando. People are like, oh, I want to buy a gun. Okay, and then I tell them the process. 4 months later, they'll come back to my range. They'll go, oh, my God, I was treated like a criminal. I was fingerprinted, background check, references. I had no idea that this was the process. But that, in fact, is the process. And, again, I believe in education and training. But, again, because the Second Amendment, because it is our right, I do not believe to possess a gun, there should be any education or training requirement. What if your grandfather died and left you guns? And maybe you weren't eligible because you're legally blind. You couldn't pass the test. That says that you couldn't possess those guns. We're not talking about shooting the guns or carrying the guns, just possessing them. In New Jersey, the gun scheme is set up where all of us are law-abiding criminals, not law-abiding citizens. Every piece of gun legislation written in New Jersey, they leave off one sentence, and it's an important sentence. They leave off during the act or commission of a crime. So right now in New Jersey, we have 10-round magazine limit. If you in the know, if you're an elderly person and you have two 15-round magazines in your house and you didn't destroy them or you didn't convert them to only hold 10 rounds, if the police came to your house to do a health and wellness check and you had two empty 15-round magazines on your nightstand, 18 months in prison for each magazine in your possession and a $10,000 fine with no criminal intent. That scheme was set up to villainize and criminalize law-abiding citizens. That's what the repercussions are, to scare people away from acquiring firearms.
And you know what, Anthony, that's disappointing because, again, I know a lot of people that believe in responsible gun ownership, people that enjoy shooting. Again, it's a great exercise. It's very therapeutic. But at the same time, it's a reminder about the sanctity of our rights. It's the sanctity, really, you know, about the Bill of Rights, Anthony, and how, again, why the framers felt that these 10 amendments were the ideal way to start a new democracy, to start a new, you know, to start, again, the experiment in democracy, Anthony, which is what it was. And now coming up this summer, we'll be celebrating, you know, the 244th birthday of this country. And to think that all the blood that was spilled against the tyranny of King George in England. And once we had that independence, that the framers felt it was so important to protect ourselves. People are now sort of politicizing the issue or have been for some time is disappointing. Again, let me be clear, though, for everybody listening tonight. I'm all for responsible gun ownership, and so is Anthony Calandra tonight, folks. There's no question about it. But Anthony, and I have to sort of ask you this question because I'm sure you get asked it often. You know, people get, you know, very emotional about the amount of gun violence that's happened in this country, in different states, where, again, different laws, whatever. It just seems like every incident of gun violence is met with outrage, but then it seems like whether it's Congress or state legislatures, they don't want to do the work to either try to help prevent these type of events, which sometimes, again, I don't want to sound like I'm being dismissive, they almost at times, maybe sometimes, are not preventable. I know it sounds crazy to say that, but unfortunately, these incidents happen. But I think there's also a sort of, you know, there's blood on the hands of legislators that aren't doing a better job, Anthony, of trying to address these sort of issues. Am I wrong here, or maybe am I looking at it too much as an academic or something in this matter?
No. You know, one of the things we always tend to neglect to look at the elephant in the room. The right has their heels dug in. The left has their heels dug in. Nobody's moving an inch. Meanwhile, we don't address the mental health issue problems. But there's a stigma for mental health. If you're a diabetic, it's okay to say publicly you're a diabetic. But if someone has depression or any type of mental health issue, they're afraid to say anything because of that stigma or how they'll be portrayed. In a state like New Jersey, if you're going through a divorce and you're depressed and you go seek medical health treatment, mental health treatment, you've just disqualified yourself from gun ownership. There's no outlet or gateway where you could say, all right, I got to get help. I'm going to go see a doctor and I can still keep my guns. So it prevents people from getting mental health treatment because the way the laws are written.
No, listen, you're right about that. And I think, again, but Anthony, I think it's an indictment also about how, and this is one of the things that we hate about government, right? The inefficiency or the sort of complacency. And I think that's what's happened, Anthony, with this, you know, with this climate. And I think with this specific issue, and again, excuse the pun, but it seems like every election season, this gets weaponized. And 2020 is no different though, right, Anthony?
Yeah, everybody on the Democratic debates is talking for complete gun control. We're going to ban everything. And we all know that's not going to happen. These are just catchwords that they say over and over again. I love when politicians say, I believe in the Second Amendment, but once they add that but in there, they've lost me completely. There are issues we can address, the over-medication of our society, the violence in movies and video games, the desensitizing of our children. You know, it turns my stomach every time somebody from Hollywood comes out from gun control, but yet they show these movies with wanton killings and massacres and everything every day that our youth are subjected to. And many kids slip in and out between fantasy and reality. They can't handle it as well. And they've been so desensitized that it's like a game. And it's scary. I'm 59 years old. I grew up watching Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, where the shower scene was violent, but they didn't show you anything. Today, all of these movies, like, you know, John Wick, he probably fires 20,000 bullets in a movie and kills 500 people, and everybody laughs about it. But nobody sees the effects of someone who's, subjected to gun violence, the mourning families, the loss of the father or the mother or the kid or something. So we've desensitized generations of children to gun violence, and then we wonder why we have so much gun violence.
You know what, Anthony, that was beautifully said, and I think that was a really astute observation. I'm glad you outlined that for us tonight here. And folks, if you're just joining us right now here on the podcast, it's 9:35 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to have on with me here, representing the National Rifle Association, the great Anthony Calandra, also an outstanding entrepreneur. He's the owner of Gun for Hire in Woodland Park. Check out their website, folks, gunforhire.com. Wonderful rates, outstanding training, and it's a great venue for people of all ages and for all members of the family. Do check it out here tonight. Anthony Calandra joining us on Politically Direct. Anthony, we'll get back to that in a moment. We'll get back to gun rights and issues concerning responsible gun ownership. But I have to ask you, man, because I know you've commented on this week. I think, you know, I know you look at my social media as well. Governor Murphy in his illustrious wisdom. And again, folks, you know, I'm not trying to sound mean. I understand that over the weekend, the governor did announce that he'll be seeking out treatment for a cancerous tumor on his kidney. So again, for the record, I want to wish the governor a speedy recovery. I certainly do not wish ill on anybody. So let me be very clear about that. But again, policy's policy, and the governor this week unveiled his proposed budget. No surprise, Anthony, taxes, spending. It seems like a lot of, you know, feel-good programs in New Jersey. And I don't know, it just seems like the governor, I'm hoping that Senate President Steve Sweeney might be the only one that stops him, because I don't know, it seems like the governor has never met a tax he's never liked, though, right, Anthony?
Yeah, tax everything, and it's calling for a fairer New Jersey, which is basically redistribution of wealth for all of his pet programs, pandering to his radical base, basically. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, I've said this a bunch of times, but states like New Jersey, New York, California, it's become the three-tiered state where the first tier is the political elites and the rich elites, and the second tier is the criminals and illegals, and the third tier turns out to be us, the law-abiding citizens, where our rights are constantly being stripped away, and we feel it in every aspect of our lives now. You know, it's, again, like you said, taxing everything. No budget cuts anywhere. I mean, because you don't want to lose the union vote. You don't want to lose the police vote. You don't want to lose this vote. I understand that. But the problem we have is people can't afford to die or retire in New Jersey. Everybody has to – when people retire, they move out of the state with their pensions because they can't afford to live here. And then we lose that revenue. You know, and when you want to have a millionaire's tax, these are the most mobile people. They can move out of the state in a drop of a hat. So the highest tax rate people that you're collecting on, you're actually forcing out of the state. Who is going to be left? We cannot tax ourselves into prosperity. It does not work, and the government does not know how to manage money. We all know that. And the government doesn't know how to manage health care or anything else. Anybody listening ever been to a DMV office or a post office?
That's, oh, God.
Could you imagine health care being like a post office?
Crazy. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It really is. And it's scary, though, Anthony, about the idea that there are just some people out there, especially, and listen, I can just say for academia, and it's always scary for me, man, when I look at my peers, because, right, that, you know, we kind of grew up with this premise that, hey, you know, based on the amount of pieces of paper that hang on your wall, we tend to sort of equate intelligence with that. I think we can clearly say, though, Anthony, that has gone out the window, because I can tell you in academia, I have colleagues with PhDs like myself, and they have to be some of the dumbest people walking the planet. And somehow some of these people are actually enacting policy in New Jersey, and that's scary, man.
You know, why did Trump win? I was not a Trumper, and I supported Ted Cruz. Trump managed to connect with the 63 million forgotten people, blue-collar workers and middle America, the elites on the coast and the major cities. You know, they don't realize you can't eat an iPhone app. People have to grow things, cultivate it, truck it, sell it in retail, and then we allow all of these big corporations with corporate welfare and tax breaks. I'm an entrepreneur. My business is worth millions of dollars. I bootstrapped it and did it all myself. There was no government or corporate welfare for me, but they look down their nose, academia and other, and the elites, they look down their nose at these people who are constantly being trampled on, overtaxed and underrepresented. Is not a good combination. And when you have something like that, you get a divisive figure like Trump come up to the podium, and lo and behold, 63 million votes, and he swept the election, right? You know, we can talk about the elect college and the majority vote or whatever, but, you know, and our forefathers were smart. We can't have gang rule, so the electoral college is for real. We can't allow New York and New Jersey and California to decide who all of our elected officials are in the executive branch. It doesn't work that way. We need equal representation across all 50 states. But that was Trump's key. And now the people that are up at the podium on the Democratic side, you have all of these rich elites telling us how we should live their lives. Meanwhile, they live in gated communities behind walls with armed security, with millions in the bank. They're not living paycheck to paycheck. You cannot keep doing this to the middle class people. You cannot keep pushing us down with these pet programs. It's like a revolt came with that last election, and we're probably going to see a revolt again this November.
Anthony, isn't it funny that the party that supposedly advocates for minorities, which is fine, I'm not against that, but isn't it funny that the party that's always, you know, pandering to minorities and always sort of downplaying or vilifying rich white men, guess who are in the lead right now, ultimately, for the Democratic nomination? Rich white men. Isn't that just rich, dude?
Yep. And I say this quote all the time. There's nothing more repulsive than a rich socialist. I love these people. Once they're worth $10, $20, $30 million, they start talking about redistribution of wealth and social programs and everything. Yeah, because they got theirs already. If you're so passionate about that, why don't you redistribute your wealth? Let's start with you. Set an example, and then maybe all the other elites will start to follow you, and we can make the world a better place. But no, they always want to take it out of our pockets. I am regulated to – there is a form and a fee for everything that we touch and do in my industry. You would not believe what we go through. My insurance for my business is $180,000 a year.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow. That's absurd. Folks, if you're listening to this, that's absurd, Anthony. My God. That's out of the, well, I can't even process that, man. That's unbelievable.
Everything, there's an EPA fee to move our materials out, the filters and the Tyvek suits that we wear. The government, everything the government touches, there's a fee. I have to pay a fee. I have to have chain of custody for everything forever, which is okay. I don't have a problem with that. I've been audited by OSHA and EPA before, but we know it's all about revenue raising. When they come in, the revenue raisers, a.k.a. inspectors, say, well, you run a clean shop, but I have to find something to justify my job. That's how we live.
Wow. And you know what?
They have to find me for something to justify their job.
That's unbelievable, Anthony. And you know what? And again, this is why those same people talking about that government is the solution to their problems. No, Ronald Reagan once said that government is not the solution to your problems, man. They are the problem. And it's really disappointing that, especially, and I really want to get your thoughts on this, Anthony, because especially during this election cycle, it just seems that, again, I don't know how much you heard of my opening monologue, but it's interesting to me where, at least from what I see on social media, that people's delusional hatred of the president. And again, let me go on record as saying this, because I've said it before on my show. I've said it on my studio show. I've been on Newsmax TV numerous times saying about this. I fundamentally often have an issue with the president's decorum and his lack of civility at times, sometimes his temper, all that stuff. But I'm a policy guy, Anthony. And the idea that, again, this is me, okay, I'm a guy that watches the market, okay? It's not looking great lately because of the coronavirus, but we'll get to that in another moment. But, you know, there's been steady job growth around the country. There has been a boom in small business creation. There's been a boom in Hispanic home ownership, Anthony. We've seen unemployment rates for women, for people of color at all-time lows. I think the lowest in maybe a generation, okay? We've had the president nominate good centrist judges to the federal judiciary. There's been good criminal justice reform, Anthony. There have been two good trade deals. Again, the proof is in the pudding there. You're looking at the language, bringing jobs back to the United States, getting a boom out of the manufacturing industry. You don't have to like the guy, but it seems to me that there's a delusional hatred for this president, that it's so delusional that people are willing to vote for a socialist because they can't get over their hatred for Donald Trump. And I just think that's scary, and I think that's irresponsible, Anthony.
It's amazing. We don't have one American trying to get into a socialist country today, but we have hundreds of thousands of people in socialist countries trying to get into America, which I still consider the greatest experiment of all time. And myself, if I was Trump's chief of staff, the first thing I would do, I would smash his phone so he couldn't tweet anymore.
Yeah, that's right. No, listen, you're right. Yeah. And again, Anthony, that's what drives me crazy about the president. And if I was there in his inner circle advising him, I said, listen, you know, you love to be on your phone. You love to tweet. Do me a favor. Don't tweet. Just post job numbers, post manufacturing jobs, post economic growth every single day. Make a meme, make a PowerPoint, screenshot it, whatever. Just post that every single day. And it just seems that if he did that, instead of just like sometimes a very bombastic language, and listen, I get it, Anthony. I love pro wrestling. I love the theater. I love sometimes the theatrics. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I find it entertaining. At times, I find it really funny. And because I have that sort of, you know, really messed up type of humor. Okay, kill me, as they say. But when I have to get serious and talk policy, I can do that. And it boggles my mind that even the most reasonable people can find just something in their derangement and say, you know what, I hate this guy. I don't care. I'll vote for a socialist if I have to. Anthony, when I hear those words out of people's mouths, it scares the hell out of me, man. It's like, what the hell are you thinking?
Me too. And the proof is in the pudding. All the government regulations that have been cut, which has eased some regulations in my business and so many of my customers' businesses. And again, like you said, for years, our political elite have sold our souls and shipped all of our jobs overseas, and we've lost so much middle America, and we've lost so much of the middle class, which separates our country from every other country in the world by having a middle class. And they've been decimated over the past 40 years, and somebody like Trump gave them light at the end of the tunnel, and that's why I believe he's going to get reelected. I don't care who the Democrats put out there. I mean, Bloomberg, a phenomenal intellectual and a business guy, but he doesn't connect with middle America. He looks down upon his nose. I saw a press conference the other day. He was talking about how he walked in the house one day and his housekeeper was playing Scrabble with his daughter. How can a statement like that connect with anybody? You know, I don't have a housekeeper playing Scrabble with anybody in my house. I don't have a housekeeper.
Yeah. It's amazing to me, Anthony, how someone like Michael Bloomberg, who, you know, donated, again, you know, if you have the money, you donate to whoever you want. I'm not going to demonize anybody for doing that. But it's funny to me where this is a guy who donated to Rudy Giuliani's campaign when he was running for mayor. He donated to Rudy Giuliani when he was running for president. He donated to George W. Bush while in office. And now all of a sudden, Michael Bloomberg would like to have us believe that he's done this complete 180 ideologically, that he's this true blue Democrat. There's nothing further from the truth, though, Anthony. And I find it – listen, it would be funny if it wasn't downright embarrassing that Michael Bloomberg, short of just throwing hundreds of millions of dollars into this race, and I'll tell you right now, privately, I've talked to some operatives that have said the ultimate goal for Bloomberg is to just create some sort of broker convention in Milwaukee come July, because realistically, though, Anthony, policy-wise, he's not going to get votes and win primaries. He might get some delegates, I don't know, but if a broker convention is forced in Milwaukee, which, let's be honest, wouldn't surprise me because listen, the Democratic Party is imploding on a daily basis. But I think that would be the icing on the cake, though, if that happens in July, Anthony. What do you think?
I believe so, too. The race to the left has been unbelievable. You know, like right now, the coronavirus we're talking about, but all of the candidates on the podium in the Democratic race are all for open borders. You know, how do we stop a pandemic if we have open borders? Forget about the humanitarian issue, but how do we stop that? We can't have open borders. We can't allow illegals to have the same or more rights as U.S. citizens, but yet they repeat the same dialogue over and over again to get this rousing applause. But the people that are going to be out there voting that are angry are not going to be voting for these issues. They are not going to do it. The Democratic Party needs to come back to the center if they want to win an election.
You know what, Anthony? That is well said. And I think, listen, going back 4 years ago, irrespective of what you or I or anyone would think about Donald Trump, the candidate, listen, he was smart to run as a populist. Now, I get it. He was a billionaire. Clearly, I don't think he really resonated with a lot of regular working class people. But a populist message worked because it reminded people how unhappy we were with the establishment. Because, listen, for better or for worse, though, Andy, Hillary Clinton represented two things. A third Obama term, which people were getting tired of, and B, just the cronyism that has really symbolized Washington. Her and her husband have been the symbol of cronyism, backroom deals, and just downright corruption. And I think people saw through that. It wasn't because we're a sexist country and we don't want women in power, or we don't want women in executive branch. Anthony, for God's sakes, how many women governors have we seen? How many women United States senators have we seen? How many women in the House of Representatives? How many women attorney generals? How many women are state legislators? Come on, give me a break. This idea, listen, don't get me wrong. I understand that there is still perhaps some misogyny and some sexism in our political climate, but give me a break. The reason Hillary Clinton lost isn't because she's a woman. It's because she sucked as a candidate, Anthony. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, people always fall back on that. It's either a racial thing or a sexism thing. If I lost, it was because I'm a woman. It was because I'm a person of color. Me, I'm colorblind. I don't care. I want to vote on someone. I'll vote for someone based on their merits. I really, really don't care. some of the best prime ministers the world has ever seen, like Golda Meir and Indira Gandhi and Margaret Thatcher, were women.
Correct.
Strong-minded,
correct.
Strong-willed, and ran their country as well. I'd vote for a woman in a heartbeat, but unfortunately, at this point in my life, I'm a single-issue voter. When I look at a candidate, I only want to see how they stand on the Second Amendment. And going back to Murphy, that's why he's a rich, repulsive socialist. He believes in the Second Amendment, but... And then he's constantly, him and his attorney general, are turning us law-abiding citizens into criminals day after day and never doing anything to address the real criminals and the crime issues in our state as well as our country.
Listen, you're right about that. And getting back to New Jersey, I'm glad you brought up Murphy. It's still early, though, Anthony, and I know that only one person has declared. He's been on my podcast a couple of times. We are talking about former Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli. You know, when he was on my show last year, he was very open and honest and said, you know what, if I had to sort of second guess what happened in 2017, he got into the race too late, it showed. I think if he had gotten in earlier, he could have given perhaps Kim Cordano a better fight for the Republican nomination. We'll never know, obviously, because that's not what happened. But I think Jack learned his lesson, and he's gotten into this a lot earlier. If you notice, I mean, even going back to last summer, he was making appearances around the state at every event possible. He just declared his candidacy last month for the Republican nomination. Have you had a chance to talk with the former Assemblyman and where he stands in the Second Amendment? And, you know, do you see him as a formidable candidate to ultimately challenge Phil Murphy next year?
Well, I think he could be a strong candidate, and he does believe in the Second Amendment. Again, in New Jersey, you have to run as a moderate to win because you have to get that independent swing vote. And I think Doug Steinhardt has done a lot with the New Jersey GOP in the past 2 years. As a matter of fact, next Friday, I'm speaking down there at the New Jersey Leadership Summit in Atlantic City. I'm the first ever Second Amendment speaker that the NJGOP is having. But I'm going to throw you a twist, Fernando. I think that Steve Sweeney is going to primary Governor Murphy, and he's going to win the election as our next governor.
Anthony, I'm going to tell you something, and maybe this is just because, maybe your sources are better than mine, but I talked to a lot of operatives statewide, and it just seems, again, I could be wrong, but it just seems like, you know, the Essex County executive's endorsement of Murphy maybe has doomed Senate President Sweeney. I think that, you know, he had waited a while. He had not declared any support for anybody, but I think the fact that DeVincenzo came out as avidly as he did for Murphy, again, I think that could have been a nail in the coffin for Sweeney, because I think deep down, a lot of people around Steve Sweeney were hoping that, hey, in the North, if he had DeVincenzo's support, that could maybe make a dent in the plurality statewide. That might not be the case, but do you really think Steve Sweeney is still going to try to make a go at it next June in 2021 to try to primary the governor?
Yeah, and again, I don't have any operative sources like you. This is just my gut feeling. But mm-hmm. Steve Sweeney does have Norcross backing him, and Norcross and Governor Murphy aren't exactly friendly anymore.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay, well, okay.
Yeah.
And do you think that, because I've heard some chatter about Chairman Steinhardt. He's also been a gentleman. He's been on my program last year. I'm looking to have him back on again to try to talk about it. I mean, I think a lot of people around him are sort of denying that he's going to run, but it seems like the seeds are being planted. Maybe, are there any dark horses, you think, in New Jersey on the Republican side that you say, hey, you know what, watch out for this guy or girl, because he or she might sneak up on Cittarelli and Steinhardt if they're not careful?
I don't have any dark horses, but I think Steinhardt would be a formidable opponent against Jack Cittarelli as well. Doug presents him well. He's very versed. He's very pro-2A. And he's very vocal, so he might be able to swing it. But again, I'm still thinking Sweeney. I don't know if I'm going to be wrong or not, but I still think Sweeney's going to be our next governor. I think it's his time now.
Well, you know what, Anthony, you were right before when you said that you need independents and moderates. Listen, if we remember back to 2009, John Corzine was an immensely unpopular governor. I mean, what a disaster John Corzine was, Anthony. My God. Oh. Every time I think of Johnny Dollars, like, I just cringe because he was so awful. And I remember that when, you know, again, a little-known U.S. attorney by the name of Christopher Christie decided to enter the race,
again, I think you hit the nail on the head. The reason Christie won in 2009 is because, listen, we all know that registration-wise, Democrats outnumber Republicans by a margin of 3-1. So Republicans are always fighting the uphill battle in terms of registered voters. But the majority of New Jerseyans are registered independents, and that's what got Christie elected within that margin. I think he won by 4 or 5 points, I think. Maybe six, I think, the most. Between 5 and 6. And I think that's what – whoever's going to challenge Murphy, if it isn't Sweeney, and if Murphy does indeed run again and he's the Democratic nominee, I think it would make sense that whoever the Republican nominee is going to be, he's going to have to be more centered here, you know, and, you know, he's going to have to win over independents here, because without them, you know, again, look what happened in 2017. Again, nothing against Kim Podano. I like Kim. She's a great lady. She came up here and campaigned for me when I was running for state assembly in 2011. Okay. I get that. And I have an immense amount of respect for her. But Anthony, the problem was that Chris Christie did so much damage to the Republican brand in New Jersey that it left Kim like in a buoy canoe without a paddle. I felt really bad for her. And also too, you only had 38% of registered voters coming out to vote, which ultimately guaranteed a victory for Murphy. Do you think that Republicans or even independents or New Jerseyans in general, you think they're going to get the message this time around that they need to be a little more engaged?
Yeah, because forget the gun issue. The big issue right now and the only issue that everybody's concerned about is taxes. And Governor Murphy has taken us the extreme other way by taxing everything and raising taxes. I think if you have someone from the Republican side come out and really commit to wanting to cut taxes and cross the aisle with the Dems and address some issues and make some enemies, they could get elected. Because Murphy can't run again with a cutting taxes platform, because everybody, he's been exposed already. Everybody knows he wants to fund every pet project and program out there. So I think the timing is right now, where people are fed up, especially since we lost the salt tax deduction federally. I think what's bearing on everybody's mind is the taxes and the weight that we carry in the state to survive every day.
No, you're right about that. And I think I'll even add one more thing to what you just mentioned right now, Anthony. Again, I don't know if you saw the newsfeed this week, but the second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the Trump administration can indeed, and the federal government subsequently, can indeed withhold funding from states that employ sanctuary city and state laws. So obviously New Jersey being one of them. And I've talked about it on this program a lot. I've been on Liquid Lunch TV, on Newsmax TV a lot, talking about this issue. You know, it seems like Attorney General Greer Grewal and Governor Murphy said, you know what, we're going to just take a stand here. But I think in the back of their minds, they had to kind of know, though, Anthony, that they were going to lose this battle. The federal government was going to win this in court. Because when it comes to enforcing federal law, like, it'd be hard for the Second Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals to side with the states on this. I think they had to kind of know that the federal government was going to win this. So if they knew that, you think, why go to all this trouble? Why go to this extent? Why alienate yourself from the federal government? Because at the end of the day, if the federal government's going to withhold, you know, the Department of Justice grants, you know what's going to happen, Anthony? That money that we're lacking from the federal government, it has to come from somewhere. And you know what Murphy and the legislature are going to do? They'll come up with a new tax. They'll come up with some way to create revenue because they need it. So it seems like they cut their nose to spite their face with these sanctuary city policies and state policies. And it seems like the federal government is going to win this. And people like Andrew Cuomo and Governor Murphy, you know, they may think that they look great in front of their social justice warrior crowd and, you know, and their base, but they're hurting taxpayers in the long run, though, Anthony.
Oh, immensely. And this ripple effect is going to hit just in time for this federal election in November. And then when Murphy's up for reelection, it's going to be even a bigger issue. Listen, this sanctuary city thing, it just can't stand. Again, you're pandering. And you're giving more rights to illegals than you are to law-abiding citizens, and it's not right, and it's definitely going to backfire. But overall, taxes in New Jersey, the tax burden, and what our politicians can't understand, like now Murphy is the highest cigarette tax in the nation. People will just drive to Pennsylvania and buy their cigarettes. So you will end up losing revenue. When you raise taxes on consumable items like that, or sin taxes, people will just find a way. The free market economy finds a way. So people will buy less of it in New Jersey, which will actually lower the tax revenue that we used to get on cigarettes or anything else they're planning on taxing. Or people will do without it rather than paying the taxes. And unfortunately, that is what's happening. And it's going to be the biggest issue the next election cycle for the gubernatorial race in New Jersey.
Oh, I agree with you. And speaking about elections, though, Anthony, I have to ask you this. I'm sure that you've been bombarded with this question. And folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's exactly 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Sir, we'll be wrapping up shortly with our outstanding guest tonight. And he's been a gentleman. He's had a long day. He runs a business, and he's been a gentleman to come on the show tonight for as long as he has. The great Anthony Calandro, the owner of Gun for Hire in Woodland Park, and also a member of the state executive board and also on the national executive board for the National Rifle Association here tonight. Anthony Calandro joining us on Politically Direct. Anthony, I'm sure that at some point in time, you're very politically astute. You have an excellent political IQ. You're very invested. You're very engaged. At some point in time, someone's got to be getting on you and saying, Anthony, when are you running for something, bro? When are you running for town council where you live? When are you running maybe for an assembly seat where you live in the district? You know, when are you doing this, man? When are you going to take that next step forward, brother?
I can't do it. I'm a capitalist. I can't be a politician. I'm a serial entrepreneur and a capitalist. I'd rather be the guy outside with the stick poking the politicians in the eye, to be honest with you. Public office is just not for me. I go to rubber chicken dinners now for fundraisers. I can't imagine doing it full time for a living. And then also I feel that once you're elected, you have to sell your soul because it's all about self-preservation. And I'm going to have to waver on my issues, and I don't want to do that. So I'd rather be an activist than a politician.
Hey, that's a great answer. I commend you on the transparency, Anthony, for sure. Speaking of self-preservation, article came out this week, Anthony, in the Associated Press. It was on NJ.com. Also, Insider NJ published it this week as well. You know, our senior senator, Bob Menendez, showed some extreme concern about the possibilities of his colleague in the Senate perhaps being the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party. And again, I talked about this during my opening monologue. I'm not sure if it's something that would maybe resonate as much in New Jersey, because it seems like the political machine in New Jersey is very strong for the Democrats. But on a national level, though, Anthony, the idea of Sanders being at the top of the ticket, you know, listen, I know you and I are informed voters. But how many people do we know, man, that go into a voting booth, close the curtain, look at a ballot, and if they don't like a candidate, they'll just go to the other column and just vote straight down? I think Bob Menendez was right on the money. I think that, again, as a Democrat, for him, he's terrified that at the national level that people might say, you know what, I'm a Democrat. My God, I cannot find it within myself to vote for Bernie Sanders. I'm just going to vote for the president. And sometimes, Anthony, some people might just vote the line. And believe it or not, that can make a lot of Democrats vulnerable in states in the Midwest and the South. And listen, I think because of this sort of radicalism by the current House and this inefficiency, they've spent millions of taxpayer dollars in these ridiculous investigations, these witch hunts that they've had for the last 3 years, basically. I think it's going to come back to haunt them. I think this makes Democrats really vulnerable nationally, because I think people might just say, hey, you know, I might just vote down the line. And that puts Democrats in a really precarious position, though. And so I think Sarah Menendez was right to be concerned, because it may not affect New Jersey, but it might affect it nationally, though.
It's one of the few things I actually agree with Senator Bob Menendez with, to be honest with you. I think people are repulsed by the paralysis of our federal government the past 3 years. Everything has just been resist, where they have nothing to bring to the table to say they've done the past 3 years. So I agree with him. He's absolutely right. I get people coming to my range all the time telling me they're fed up. And I have Democrats and liberals and people that have ACLU membership cards in their wallet that come to my range. And I talk to everybody politically, because I'm out there. And the people are fed up with this paralysis. And like you said, this constant witch hunt. Everybody should just buckle down. Listen, he's your boss. He's the executive. Just do what you have to do and get some things done. I mean, both trade agreements were pushed through by Trump. You know, all the international stuff with Israel, he introduced a peace plan between Israel and Palestine. We've gotten no action from that whatsoever from anybody. The whole media elites and everybody have suppressed it. he's doing the best he can, getting attacked every day. Again, I agree with you. He's very bombastic, and he grinds my gears every day when he tweets. But still, I believe a lot of people may be walking into the booth and go, okay, I'm done. I'm going to cross the line. I mean, I read somewhere where the Trump approval rating with the African-Americans is like 38% now.
Yes, and it's actually even gone up also for a second. Anthony, just look at this perspective, and because I look at it, I was talking about this on my studio show as well. At the end of 2016, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus had polling data that the president, you know, then candidate Donald Trump, despite doing a lot of Hispanics and Latinos nationally, won with a 28% approval rating for among Hispanics and Latinos. Now, that was considerably higher and perhaps the highest for a Republican in quite some time, maybe since Ronald Reagan, if I'm not mistaken. Guess what? Recent polling data suggests that approval among Hispanics and Latinos right now is up to 35%. That has to terrify Democrats, because this has been a base that they think has always been reliable. But I think more and more Hispanics and Latinos nationally are waking up, and they just like many in the African-American community are, like, listen, we don't have to like this guy. We're not saying he's the nicest guy in the world, but for a lot of people, Anthony, he's getting things done. And I really listened to them. I know you did a great job listening to them right now. And for a lot of people in this country, though, Anthony, that's just enough to say, you know what, I can live with him for another 4 years, especially if the Democratic Party is moving so far to the left, where, let's be honest, by 2024, we're going to be seeing the AOCs, the Ilhan Omars, and all these despicable radicals that might start consuming the Democratic Party.
Yeah, the Democratic Party has moved towards the squad, as they call them,
mm-hmm.
Again, pandering to that radical base, and middle America is not buying into that. And I think he's gotten so much approval rating, obviously, from the African-Americans and Hispanics because of the jobs numbers and the unemployment numbers. But a lot of these people are waking up, realizing these sanctuary laws are bringing people in and having them compete with jobs for them and lowering the wage potential for them. So if that message continues to be sold, I think we can see a major uprising in the next federal election.
I agree with you, Anthony. And you know what, man? It seems like, you know, you're such a wealth of information and knowledge, bro, that I could have you on for 3 more hours and we still wouldn't get through everything. So, again, you're a great guest. Before I let you go, just a couple of things here. Number one, I want to thank you for your time. I want to give you the floor for two reasons. Number one, I want you to tell our audience any pertinent information about Gun for Hire, any important links, any important information. And then secondly, as I like to do with all my guests, I give you the floor, sir. I've been the one asking you questions. You guess what? Now, feel free. Pick my brain. You can ask me questions. So the floor is yours again in terms of, please tell our audience more about Gun for Hire. And then any questions you got for me, shoot, bro.
Well, Gun for Hire is easy. It's gunforhire.com. I do have a podcast, a weekly podcast for 8 years now, Gun for Hire Radio. It's on Google Store and it's in iTunes. And you can go right to the webpage, gunforhireradio.com. We political, crime statistics, safety training, education. We discuss all of that. I'm there to share the knowledge with everybody out there. People can email me, anthony@gunforhire.com, if you have any questions pertaining to the laws in New Jersey or firearms ownership. I'm here to share the knowledge and the wealth with everybody. But what really my biggest issue, I don't have any questions for you, Fernando. You got me, caught me off guard with that one. Next time I'll be prepared. But everybody out there, regardless of your political leanings or convictions, get out there and vote. We are one of the few countries left in the world where our votes still, in fact, do matter and do count. And you talked earlier about the last gubernatorial race. We only had 38% of the registered voters turn out, and millions of people died so we could have that right to exercise our right to vote. And our vote, we should be 100% voting turnout when it comes to an election. Everybody should be out there voting, and you should get involved at the grassroots level, the local political level, and make your voice heard. For too long, people have gone home and watched Dancing with the Stars at night and let our pop politicians do whatever they want to us. We need to put their feet to the fire, because we've elected them. They are elected officials, but they are public servants. They're there to serve us. They are not our public masters. And we've allowed that role reversal over the past 40 or 50 years. And we need to take our country back and let our voices be heard.
Anthony, well said. Bravo, man. Again, Anthony, I want to thank you for your time. You, again, are a wealth of information. Keep up the good work. God bless you. And do me a favor, and I know you've been always very generous and you've been very supportive of this show. I want to thank you because this is a tough job. And what I'm trying to do every week, man, is speak truth to people, is to be fair and objective, but to give people opinions that, you know, everyone can believe in and get behind. I appreciate your support of this program. And just do me a favor, please continue telling everybody you know about how much you love Politically Direct and Insider NJ. Can you do that, bro?
You got it. I will post it everywhere tomorrow, the show, and I will talk about it on my radio show.
Oh, God bless you. And listen, Anthony, if I don't talk to you again before the beginning of the summer, because I do want to have you back on in terms of any updates or anything else, I want to wish you a very happy Father's Day. Keep up the great work with Gun for Hire. And, brother, stay safe.
You too, Fernando. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night, brother.
You
all
too.
Right,
be
folks.
Well.
Are you up? Thank you, man. All right, folks, 10:15 here on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. And listen, great guest here tonight. Certainly, Anthony Calandro is just an exceptional entrepreneur, but he's also a guy that believes in responsible gun ownership. I think you heard that in his voice. I think you could hear it. And you can hear the despair, I think, in his dialogue tonight about how much he cares about responsible gun ownership, about gun rights. Listen, folks, he's not one of these, you know, crazies that you hear about that the left likes to demonize. He's not. I know him personally. He's a responsible entrepreneur. Again, I can tell you from going to Gun for Hire, it is by far the most concise, the most responsible, and quite frankly, I think the most, you know, dependable gun range in the state. And this is a guy who, you know, really, for lack of a better word, is doing it. You know, a lot of people talk about opening a business and trying to keep it afloat. He's been doing it. He's been doing it through responsible ownership. He's been doing it through really just expansion. And if you haven't had a chance to go to Woodland Park, I suggest you do. Gun for Hire is a wonderful facility, and you won't be disappointed. Trust me. So, again, a big shout-out to him. And if you missed any part of the broadcast, folks, again, you can listen to the episode in its entirety at the bottom of the hour. It'll be available in the archives. And you can do so by going to www.insidernj.com/podcasts, and you can listen to it again for the absolute best coverage of the political scene anywhere in the state of New Jersey. Again, I've had wonderful guests on recently, again tonight with NRA Executive Board Member Anthony Calandro. Last week, I had Bloomberg New Jersey Bureau Chief Stacey Sherman. In recent weeks, I had Bergen Record political columnist Charles Style, certainly Garden State Equality Executive Director Christian Priscarino, as well as the U.S. Second District candidate in South Jersey, Bridget Harrison, fellow academic, as well as my fellow Insider NJ columnists, Fred Snowflake and Al Sullivan this year. So, folks, I've had great guests to start 2020, and certainly I will continue to bring you the very best guests for the rest of the year and for the foreseeable future. So, again, without you, my low listening audience, this show would not be possible. So, again, check out not just only tonight's episode, but all my previous episodes free of charge. You can download the episodes from anywhere, from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. Listen to it anywhere, anytime. Again, www.insidernj.com/podcast. Issue you want to hear about in the coming weeks, folks, please write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Now, I do answer my emails promptly, so if you have a suggestion for any guests or, again, topics you want to hear me discuss on the air, hey, trust me, I'll answer you, I'll get back to you, and I'll make sure to address them on the program. So again, write to me, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, folks, at politicallydirectnj, as well as follow me directly at Professor Fernando Uribe. Also, folks, hit me up on Twitter at Professor F. Uribe. I get brand new followers, tons of new likes, and especially on Instagram, I know lots of you enjoy my, you know, Instagram stories. They're funny. They're a lot of political memes, pop culture memes, pro wrestling, sports, everything, you know? So check it out. Again, I appreciate the support there. And again, don't forget to like Politically Direct on Facebook. Certainly brand new likes every day, and certainly commentary on all my social media posts. And I really appreciate all of your feedback, folks. And don't forget to check out Insider NJ, ladies and gentlemen, by going to www.insidernj.com. Once again, for the best coverage of the political scene anywhere in the state of New Jersey, folks, nobody does it better than Insider NJ. Once you go on the website, upper right hand corner, click on the subscribe button, and you're automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. So whether you're getting your morning coffee, working out, walking the dog, I'm sure you're on your phone, checking your inbox, checking your email. Maybe you're doing it from your Mac or your PC at the breakfast table, right? Guess what? It'll be there right for you, waiting for all the best scoops and, the best journalism, the best coverage of the political scene anywhere in the state of New Jersey. Don't forget to like Insider NJ on Facebook. Also, follow them on Twitter as well. Folks, again, I can't tell you enough, really. You know, it's the best journalism anywhere in the Garden State. And, again, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. All right, folks, again, don't forget every Thursday night live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen to the best analysis and commentary about everything going on in the world of politics, whether it's at the local level, here in New Jersey, statewide, or even nationally. It's always right here on Politically Direct. And, again, whether it's on your morning commute, getting your daily workout in, walking your dog, doing laundry, whatever it is, folks, take a break, tune in, and you'll be happy that you did. And never forget, it's real, it's here. It's Politically Direct. Good night. Brick, New Jersey, down the shore there. A couple of good friends listening tonight to the podcast down in Brick. Certainly, you know, great neighborhood there. Once it gets a little warmer, it's shore season. Great spot to hit during down the Jersey Shore, certainly during the summer months. So a shout out to everybody down in Brick, New Jersey, folks listening tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, please party responsibly. Please be careful out there. It is the end of the month. Again, as I always like to remind you, folks, be careful with checkpoints. Be careful when you're driving. You know, police departments like to be very vigilant and be overly invasive with their checkpoints and their summonses. So be careful again, even though it's February and it's the shortest month of the year. It is a leap year this year, so February does indeed have 29 days. Be careful tomorrow and Saturday, folks, again, when you go out. If you can Uber and Lyft it everywhere, do so. So, again, I appreciate all the love and support here on the program, folks. So I'll see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio. When we return, really, next week, guess what? It will be the month of March. My God, how 2020 is flying by. And, folks, again, we'll see you next week. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.